The window that we're looking at today is on your right, which is that one over there. And it was installed in 1972 by Sadie McClellan in memory of her parents. And I hadn't looked at it properly. It's right up in the left-hand corner of the window, there is a crest. And that represents the Scottish Horse Regiment of South Africa. And that was around at the turn of the last century, I believe. The window shows us the scripture passage in really one story. We're having fun with the technology this morning. What's going to happen? Hey, it's not really very clear. I don't know whether it's better up there. I find these quite difficult to kind of see up on the screen. You're better looking at the real thing over there. Mm-hmm. If you can take time after the service to have a look at it properly. And as I was saying, it kind of shows the scripture passage, but it's only really part of the story. You know, Jesus and the disciples sleeping. But this is where the passion of Christ really begins. It's where he becomes totally aware of what he's undertaking. He becomes human. He's taking on this burden of the sin of all our humanity. And Jesus takes the disciples with him. And he leaves some of them further back, and he takes Peter, James, and John with him. And it kind of parallels the story of the Transfiguration, where he took them up the mountain. He's taking these three with him. And once again, there's a real sense that they don't fully grasp the seriousness of what Jesus is about. Even though he explains how he's feeling, you know, he says, my heart is overcome, my sorrow is so great, it's pressing in on me, it's crushing me. And this is a side of Jesus that they've probably never seen before, and neither have we, because we're going to take time to have a look at this morning. If the disciples had really been paying attention, they would have seen Jesus' face was different. Because when you're that heavy with grief and concern, your face paints a picture. Mm-hmm. So how does it feel for him at this moment in time? Jesus was always in control. He was the authority, and he took that authority very seriously. He stood up against the Pharisees with that authority, condemning them for the lack of integrity. He spoke with authority in justice and peace, particularly for those in the margins of society. And now he faces the biggest challenge of his life. And what's the first thing he does? He goes to pray. And it's not just a case of, dear Father, please help me, amen. He prays persistently, and that is one of the big things in this passage. He prays persistently. He prays three times to have this removed from his life. We've met different kinds of Jesus. We've met the heartbroken Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. We've met the angry Jesus at the money changer in the temple. The despairing Jesus when Peter, in the previous paragraphs of this chapter, when he starts talking about his death, and Peter says, oh no Lord, no Lord, that can't happen. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. When will he ever learn that this is the way? This sense of being crucified. crushed inside. His heart being heavy with the thought of what he's about to undertake. And the recognition of the beginning of separation from his father. I don't think we can ever truly imagine what it was like for Jesus. As he experienced the pain of love growing to the point of taking his breath away. But let's just see if we can get a glimpse of it. And perhaps we can do that when we start remembering those that we've either known in family or friends who have had real challenges in their lives. They've always been strong and dependable. And then something happens, whether it's illness or whether it's bereavement, even the loss of a job, and that person begins to crumble. Their heart is heavy, the pressure is crushing in on them. There's a sudden look of weakness and fragility about them that you've never seen before. The feelings of uncertainty, of unable to be able to accept the situation as it is, the desire to run away. And these feelings aren't unusual. We can all experience them, and they're not wrong. We need to be careful here that we're not saying it's wrong to feel like that. We are human, and our humanity dictates how we are. Even our genes, to a certain extent, dictate how we are about things. I grew up more like my mother than I did my father. That can be changed. But inside of here, when things begin to pile in on you, and it just feels like it's never stopping, how do you deal with that? When we talk about passage in Luke every now and again. And at this moment in time, I think it's highly appropriate to read that. Jesus says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That real sense of the power that's going into his prayer, the energy that's going into his prayer, that it's really hard work. And you know, sometimes when we're in situations that are difficult and otherwise, prayer can be too difficult. It can feel like it's too hard, I don't have the energy for this. But actually, do have the energy for that, because without doing it in those moments in time, we're not going to get out of those places. We need to be able to say, even if it's two words, "Father, help." Because that in itself takes us back into the presence of God, where he's standing there waiting. This shows the struggle that Jesus is having. And in the light of all of this, he begins to really see the world as it is. Not just what's going on in Jerusalem and round about, but in the whole world. He sees the disobedience of the people. He sees them turning away from God. He sees the selfishness and unforgiveness in the world. No wonder he feels crushed. He has spent 3 years trying to get people to understand they have to turn back to God. That is the only place where they are ever going to be able to get the peace and the courage that they need. No wonder he's known as the man of sorrows. So what does Jesus do? He prays. What he does here shows, or at least it should have done as far as the disciples were concerned, what the first thing to do is pray. It's not the second thing or the third thing or even the last thing. It is the first thing that we do. That's what he's telling us here. We don't wait till we've got the bad news or till something that we don't want to happen happens. We have to praying that we will be protected, that we will be strengthened, that we will be encouraged to face whatever the day brings us. And some of us know exactly what it's like to be prayed for. And I'm not necessarily talking here about being in the presence of someone. It's that knowledge when somebody says that somebody is praying for you, and you're aware of that spirit moving within you that's taking that burden and lightening it, maybe ever so slightly. Because we can be awfully good at hanging on to these things instead of letting them go. But that feeling of knowing that someone is praying for you is a powerful thing. It tells us that we are not alone. The more I get into this, all I could think of was, poor Jesus. He must have felt so alone when those three close friends fell asleep and left him to it. Now in this day and age, there are various things that can distract us. Gives in because he wants shot of her. He wants her out of his court and away out of sight. This is what we are being told as well. Pray persistently. But ultimately, he submits to the will of God. Our focus has to be in God at all times. And as much as that may sound very hard and very prescriptive, it is the only way. We can ask to be released from our burdens. But we have to be aware that it won't always happen. But what will happen is we will be given what we need to get through it. We'll be given the strength, we'll be given the peace, even joy in the midst of struggle. They are dependent on the will of God. So how does this help us when we look towards our communities and our neighbours? I have to be honest, I sometimes think listening to people outside the church who have no idea of who God is, that they think as Christians we've got it made, that, oh, that's fine, nothing happens to you, you know, you're fine, you've got God, and yeah, well, here's a shock. We're human just like you, and these things do happen to us. And the stories that we tell of Jesus being involved in our lives. How is it you carry on through all that you're going through? Well, it's like this. I have God, I have Jesus, I have the Holy Spirit, and I have prayer, where I can go and talk to him and I can say whatever's on my mind. It doesn't matter. He's heard it all before, and he'll hear it all again. And some of it will probably not be very nice either. And the language will probably be a bit choice too. But that's okay. Because that's where we are. And he knows that and accepts it. These are the stories that we tell people. We can speak of such a great gift of prayer. Where else do we find it? We don't find it in our workplace. We don't find it on the bus. We find it when we come before God. And we're so blessed to have the wonder of Scripture, where Jesus tells us what it's like to have life pressing in on us, because he's experienced it here in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's found it there, as he's found it in many other places before. It is heightened here because of what he's going to do. He gives himself up. He gives into the will of God. But we need to keep looking at this book. As James said earlier, we need to keep looking at it and finding the gems that help us to do that. The ones that keep our heads above water when it all feels too much. Because there's both good and bad in here. That's the whole point of it. It's not as if somebody sat down and said, well, let's just take all the bits out of Jesus' ministry, we'll put them in and that'll be fine. You can't do that. That doesn't give a balanced picture of what it's like. Certainly not for him and certainly not for us. Because our lives can be well out of balance, depending on what's going on for us. Jesus is our example. And if we can try as hard as we can to keep that in mind, focus ourselves on him, then we'll get through what we're going through. As difficult as that might seem. Let's pray together. Father God, as we come before you, we're aware this morning of what Jesus went through on our behalf, that he submitted to your will to withdraw himself from you, to become that human being and taking on the sin of the world, our sin. But he also tells us that it's so easy to be distracted, that our lives take over the things that we do must take time in coming to you. So help us to look at our lives and find that space. Because we need you. Every hour we need you. In fact, every minute we need you, particularly when life is difficult. So through your Holy Spirit, Lord, remind us once again of this example of how to be focused, how to pray, to be persistent, to be constantly in your presence. And we thank you that Jesus is our example, and it's through whom we pray.